those in Laodicea, and for all who haven't known me personally. My goal is that their hearts would be encouraged and united together in love so that they might have all the riches of assurance that come with understanding, so that they might have the knowledge of the secret of God, namely Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. I'm telling you this so that no one deceives you and with convincing arguments, because even though I am absent physically, I am with you in spirit. I'm happy to see the discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. So live in Christ Jesus the Lord in the same way as you received him. Be rooted and built up in him. Be established in faith and overflow with thanksgiving, just as you were taught. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, John. So here we are, in week 3 of our sermon series about the 3 simple rules, a Wesleyan way of living. So I want to remind you once again what those 3 simple rules are. If we can... All right. There we are. All right. Those 3 simple rules are 1, do no harm. 2, do good. 3, stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good. Stay in love with God. And I think these 3 rules are really important for a lot of reasons. But I think the 3rd rule, in my mind, is the glue that holds all of this together. Because the 1st rule, do no harm, is really basic. It's one of the most foundational things of how we are to treat one another. We even teach young children the importance of doing no harm. And then, of course, doing good. We would think that any of us with a semblance of moral fiber know the importance of doing good in the world. I think just about every religious creed known to man that's worth their salt teaches us to do good. But I think the 3rd rule, staying in love with God, is the most powerful thing. It's the catalyst that allows us to do these 2 other rules, doing no harm and doing good, as faithfully as we possibly can. Staying in love with God, as I've said, is the one that allows us to do no harm and to do good and do the best that we can to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. And all these things, of course, are based upon the greatest commandment, most especially staying in love with God. Jesus tells us that we are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so in my mind, there are 3 different kinds of love that occur here when we talk about the greatest commandment. The first one is, of course, loving God. That's the first love. The second is loving our neighbor, loving others around us. And then 3rd is loving ourselves. There is great importance in loving ourselves. And so I think about that acronym that maybe you've heard many times before, JOY. Jesus first, then others, then yourself. Jesus, others, yourself. JOY. All of these things are connected together. And I think at the root of this is realizing just how deep, just how vast, just how infinite God's love is for all of us. We understand at the very beginning of creation in the book of Genesis that when God created the heavens and the earth and the flowers of the field and the plants and everything in it, that when God created human beings, you and me, he created us in his image. Male and female, God created us in his image. What an awesome and powerful thing to know. That God loved us so much that he wanted us to be the most like him of anything in all of creation. And we were called and are called to tend God's creation. But we also know through Scripture that we have sinned, that we've fallen short of the glory of God, that we are not what God imagined us to be, that sin separates us from God. And so God loves us so much that He sent His own Son, He sent His Son Jesus into the world to save us from the power of sin. And He died upon a cross and took the death upon Himself that we deserved to save us from sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." If I had to summarize God's love for us in one sentence, I think that sentence would pretty much sum it up right there. That He gave up His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to save us from our sin. And so knowing that to be true, knowing how much God loves us, we should be shouting His praise from the rooftops. Nothing should stop us from praising God at all times. We should be enthusiastic about it all the time if we really grasped in our hearts just how much our God loves us. But the reality is that many times we are not doing that. There are many times that we fall short of the praise that we should give God. And there are a lot of reasons. Maybe we feel like we're too busy. Maybe something happened in our lives that disappointed us, or maybe even made us angry with God. Maybe someone in the church hurt you, and therefore it made you angry with God too. Maybe we forget. Maybe we don't bother. And still others maybe even don't believe. There are many reasons that we disconnect from our relationship with God. And so the question I think that we need to answer today is, what can we do? What are the things that we need to do that make sure that we keep our relationship with God strong and stay in love with Him? And so in case you haven't noticed, this is the month of February. And here we are 4 days into it. Time flies. And so in just a few days, in 10 days, we'll celebrate Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent. And on that same day is also Valentine's Day. Yes, ooh, you better remember, right? There's a reminder for you, Keith. You got one just now. So it's an important day. And I think that the love that God has for us in Jesus dying upon a cross and the love that we have for one another are intertwined. I think it's a special thing that Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day coincide. But as I mentioned, Valentine's Day is also important to express the love that we have for one another, most specifically for our spouse or significant other. And so there are lots of different ways that we do that, through gifts and flowers and nice dinners out and love letters and cards. If you guys need to start making a list, you better do it now. These are the few of the ways that we express love for one another in Valentine's Day. And so in light of Valentine's Day, it made me think about the kind of love that we should have for one another, particularly for our spouse. What are the ways that we make sure that that love stays strong in our relationships? And so I thought about that, and I did a Google search about that. How to make sure that you stay in love with your spouse, your loved one. And there were so many different things that came up. I could have spent weeks reading all the different articles about that. But I looked at a few, and I realized that there were some commonalities. Some commonalities that kept coming up about how we stay connected to the people that we love. And so I want to put that list up here of some different ways that we can stay connected to our spouse, significant other, even people in our families that we love. And so I want you to take a look at these, and I want to see if any of these might even coincide with the way that we should love God. And so the first one is carving out us time. That's important in any relationship, isn't it? Making sure that you have time to enjoy each other's company, to go out to a nice dinner, whatever the case might be. Carving out us time is important. Secondly is connecting throughout the day. Whether that be sending a nice text, maybe putting a love letter in the lunchbox whenever you go to work. So many different ways that we connect with our loved ones throughout the day. Number three, giving appreciations. Saying thank you. Saying how much we appreciated that delicious dinner. Saying how much we appreciate how clean the house is. So many other things that we can give appreciation for. Keith's nodding over there. That's good. All right. Number four, trying new things. Maybe that's going out to a new restaurant and trying something you never tried. Maybe that's going skydiving. I don't know what that might be for you. Trying new things. Then number five, making your loved one laugh. I think laughter is the best medicine sometimes, isn't it? Keeps life lighthearted and fun. It's important. And then lastly, praising your spouse's physical appearance. Telling how much you enjoy how they look. Maybe that dress or new outfit looks really nice on them. Their hair looks wonderful today. So many ways that we express love for each other. And so I look at this list, and I realize that there are lots of things here that also coincide with the way that we need to stay in love with God. I think number one, carving out us time is so important. We need to have special dedicated time between us and God. Whether that's when we first wake up in the morning and everybody else is asleep, or whether that's at night when everybody's gone to bed, whatever works for you, carving out time to just stay and connect with God and be at peace. The second is connecting throughout the day. I think that can be good too. I know that sometimes when I'm going through something stressful or going to have to experience something stressful, that it really helps me to go to God in prayer before that happens. Or maybe something really good. Or maybe I'm going to see somebody in the hospital and I want to pray for them even before I go in. Connecting with God throughout the day can be an awesome thing, keeping the relationship strong. And then number three, giving appreciations, expressing to God daily what we are thankful for. Thankful that he got us up in the morning, that we're able to breathe the air, that we're able to have a nice meal in the morning and a warm roof over our head. So many things that we can give God gratitude for in our daily lives. As a family, we do that every night. When we pray together as a family, we lift up those things that we're thankful for. And we're even teaching Lily to do that too. And she lists things such as she's thankful for mommy and daddy and mom and pop and grandma and grandpa, and also chicken nuggets and Paw Patrol are some of the things that she says she's thankful for too. They are the important things. That's right. So we need to make sure that we're expressing our gratitude to God too. And I even think that God appreciates laughter. I think he appreciates those opportunities that we experience joy, the joy that God can bring our lives. Laughter is important. I think number six doesn't really apply, but I think five out of six is really good. There are lots of different ways that we connect and keep our relationship with God strong. And so as I thought about this, I want to share with you one more list. And so in the book, about the three simple rules, on page 53, Reuben Job gives us Wesley's ordinances that keep us in love with God. And so John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. And so he gave all of his new converts and all the classes that would meet together these six ordinances, these six basic things that we ought to be doing to stay in love with God. And so here are those six things that I want to share with you. The first one is public worship of God. That we need to be faithfully coming together as a church family Sunday after Sunday to worship the Lord, to give thanks to him, to sing songs of praise, to hear his word proclaimed. Public worship of God is one of the most important things that we do to start our week off right and to stay connected to God. Number two is celebrating the Lord's Supper, which we are going to do today. This is the table of grace. And we are reminded that the Holy Spirit is present in both the bread and the cup. That it reminds us that Jesus broke his body and he shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. The Lord's Supper. And then private and family prayer, making sure that we are praying to the Lord daily, both by ourselves and also with our family. It brings us closer to God, and I also think that family prayer brings us together as a family too. Number four, searching the scriptures. What this means is that if you're going through something in your life, you're going through a struggle, you can look into God's word and find ways that you can be strengthened by it. That it gives us words of wisdom for the different things that we go through in our lives. So searching the scriptures. Number five is Bible study. Finding ways to consistently study God's word. Whether that be through Sunday school or some of the evening Bible studies that we do, there are lots of different ways that we can make sure that we're studying God's word. And then lastly, fasting. Whether that be through food, whether that be from portable electronic devices. There are lots of different ways that we fast and stay connected to the Lord our God. But fasting is about giving up something. Giving up something that we enjoy, giving up something like foods that we enjoy or a smartphone or whatever it might be, that we need to take that time and spend it with the Lord. So these are the ordinances that John Wesley gave us about how we stay in love with God. And I think these are very wise and important. And if we do these things faithfully, it is my confident prayer that we'll be stronger in our relationships with God than we've ever been before. So I want to sum all this up by looking at the scripture passage that John read to us from Colossians chapter 2. So Paul writes to the church in Colossae. And so as he writes to the church, he writes from this point of reference. Paul is a man who has been beaten, he's been tortured, he's been thrown into prison. People have sent him death threats all the time. So can you imagine living a life like that? A life always on the run, a life in prison, a life being persecuted in so many ways because of your faith. Paul lived that way, but yet he stayed in love with God all the time. So how do you do that? In light of all these trials and tribulations, how do you stay in love with God? And Paul writes this in verses 2 and 3. He says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so we are to be encouraged in heart and united in love. That is the first way that we stay in love with God through trials and tribulations, is that we encourage and we lift up one another and know that we are united in our love for one another in the love of God. So if we're united in that love, we are protected. And we are blessed. And there's another thing that Paul does too when he faces time of trial. In verses 6 and 7, he knows that we'll face temptations ourselves. We'll face trials ourselves. And so he says, "So then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Let me read that again. "So then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened as in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." So if we live our lives rooted in Christ, built up in the faith, encouraging one another and united in love, when we face trials and tribulations, we'll come through them being stronger than we've ever been before. And so just like a car, the only way that car is going to run is if you always keep fuel in the gas tank. So to stay in love with God, we always need to fuel that relationship. And these ordinances will help us to do just that. Public worship, celebrating the Lord's Supper, private and family prayer, searching the scriptures, Bible study, and fasting will all draw us closer to God. So I want to close with this. Remember those three simple rules that you've been taught. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Keep those rules and write them on your heart today. If you follow these rules, I firmly believe that you'll be doing your part to make the world a better place. And I want to close with this scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21. I think this speaks about the kind of life that we're to lead. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 22 through 21, which says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so as it says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as if God himself were making his appeal to share the faith through our life. And so think about how your life is a witness to Christ. Does your life mirror the kind of life that Christ would want you to lead? Do you represent Christ as you walk out these doors Monday through Saturday? It is my hope and prayer that you do. And that if you follow these ordinances and follow those rules of doing no harm and doing good and staying in love with God, it is my confident prayer that you will. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us to follow three simple rules: to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with you, O Lord, which follows your greatest commandment, to love you, O God, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Help us, O God, to make our life more like you every day. Help us, O God, to be faithful to these ordinances. Help us to always kindle that relationship with you, O God. Help us to be faithful in everything that you have called us to do. Help us to always worship you. Help us to always pray, to celebrate the Lord's table. Lord God, to also fast and to study your word. Help us to be faithful in these things, so that when we go out into your world, that we are witnesses, that our life is a representation of the life your Son Jesus led. So Lord God, use us to shine your light and to bring others into a saving relationship with you. It is in your name, O God, that we pray. Amen.